Blog Talk Radio.
Me over to sky now. Make you want me cause I'm high now. I'm gone, so faded, I'm on one. Bang, bang, pop up like a long gun. If you ain't making, you ain't making no noise. Get better, turn up with the big boys. Live fast, die young, that's my choice. Get money like an M-boy. Make the money, make the grip.
I'm touching you tonight. I'm
never love him or cuff him. And when we done, I'ma duck him. He Ferragamo the buckle, he Louis V on the duffel. The pussy redder than puddles, I ride his up like a shuttle. I said, real niggas let real, real come first. And real niggas been dead from birth. Kiss him when he made more money last year than Mr. Drummond.
Now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Let it be known.
Better wake up.
Let it be known.
Might not
know something if you learn to stop running. Let it be known.
Once again, back is the incredible.
No one can do it better.
You're now rocking with the best.
Let it be known.
Yo, happy Wednesday. We are back. Ms. Jones, baby girl, my partner in radio. How you feel?
What's up? Hey. I'm here. Happy Wednesday.
You know, I feel like we've been going forever.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, my Wednesday starting to be, that's all I can say.
What's up?
I feel like we should be saying, welcome back. Like, we were on hiatus all over again. Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. So, what's up?
Right. Hold on. My headphones acting a little crazy.
Uh-oh.
Coming in and out.
Get them headphones right. Let me
talk. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, no, I was like, so what's going on?
It's a lot going on, you know, it's a lot going on. I'm incredibly stoked about this topic tonight. This had came to me the other day, and I said, we need to talk about it. So I'm going to really go in tonight.
Oh, geez, I don't, because you saw one of my posts, I was like, ooh, this is like a little close to home for me. Oh. Cause I feel like I don't know if it's because my birthday is coming up, but I feel like my life is like, oh, I mean, it's not bad, but I just feel like I'm in a fog or something, and the fog isn't going away. Mm. So I feel like I need to get my life. And it's not even that alone with the fog. I think it's an annual thing. I don't know what exactly it is. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I guess it's just, you know, especially you remember when I come back from Jamaica, the whole reflecting. So it's like, it's just like a snowball effect. So right now I'm just like in, I don't want to call it la-la, man, but
I mean, it's all
and crazy. Then I have individuals that's like trying to link back up. And I'm like, I cut you off for a reason. You wasn't bringing that into the table. Yeah. I feel like I got a few more cutting off to do.
We're going to talk about all that. We're going to go into it, though. I know I expect the lines to be fluffy and crazy as usual. You know, I'm just excited to be here.
So.
you know, because I want some feedback this evening as well. I got so much to talk about. I have several bullet points that I certainly want to emphasize on the topic, though. Get your life. And the thing is that I hope we can reach someone tonight. You know, I kind of feel it in my bones that someone is going to say, you know, I really need to hear this show tonight. You know, I really need to hear this. I feel as if y'all talking to me. So I need to hear this. You know?
Dude, I might say, I might be like, yeah, you talking to me right now. I'm such a lunatic.
Oh, man, what's going on in the news, Ms. Jones? I know the top of the flavor, though, with the news is the Ray Rice situation.
Well, actually, that's actually coming up second because, you know, Obama, political-wise, Obama's about to have a big speech about ISIS and Syria and ISIS and how we're going to deal with ISIS. So, yeah, that's it at the top of it. Then, yeah, the Rice thing, the whole domestic violence thing, I actually thought we were going to discuss that because I think we actually need to make that, like, one of our – because, I mean, the banter about – Who shouldn't get hit?
Bring it in, though. We can certainly bring it into this topic, though.
We can. And this morning I was watching something about this chick. She apparently had a hashtag on Twitter talking about why I stayed. And how about you put a hashtag, why I'm a leave? Or why I'm going, or why I'm out the door. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say because I honestly think at the end of the day, a lot of women that say, it's like, how do you put someone else ahead of yourself? Regardless, you want to stay because you love this guy. Well, do you love yourself more? You want to stay because you have kids with this guy. Okay, do you love your kids more? I mean, I don't know.
My thing is like this, though. You know, as a human, we tend to have, you know, be overly opinionated when a situation, we have an experience, B, a situation that we're not in. Now, the person that's actually in the mix, in the realms, in the situation is the person that has all the pressure and, you know, they can either exit it or choose to stay. Now, most, unfortunately, in these situations, choose to stay, you know, several reasons. One possibly could be security, financial security, you know, and them not being in a position where they can actually go out on their own independently and deal with the world. So their spouse is the breadwinner and the person that they kind of get, you know, all their security from. And then it's a lot of mental and psychological variables involved. Low self-esteem. And I also have to make note that when you're dealing with for women, for example, and men have to take responsibility of this because a lot of our men, we fail our daughters as fathers. So the father being her very first template, an example of how a man should treat her, if he's not there in the equation, what does she have to bookmark? Nothing. So she goes out into the world and she has to pretty much figure it out. And unfortunately, she gets with a man possibly that's going to manipulate the fact that she never had her father around. And he's going to take full advantage of that variable and that fact. So that's what she has to deal with. So I would never sit here and condone domestic violence in any kind of part, you know, totally unacceptable to the degree that Ray Rice exercised his emotion is totally unacceptable. I know this young man, he's only 27 years old. He's a multimillionaire, very successful. He's very gifted on the field. I know right now he's wishing that this never transpired. You know, what I don't like about society is that society is very harsh when the media gets involved. and propaganda is exerted in these situations, and the media wasn't involved, you know, this young brother probably could have sought out some counseling and kind of cleaned up the situation a little bit and worked it out with himself first, and then moved on with now his wife. But I think that it's kind of touchy. I just think the reaction of the NFL right now at this point is because the media explosion put them
exactly.
in the position where it's like, y'all got to do this, y'all got to do that. So the media is pretty much dictating, has dictated, I should say, his destiny. You know, there have been athletes that have done way worse things than this.
Mm-hmm.
And have been reprimanded in some kind of way and penalized in some way, but not to the severity of this. So there's some things to look at with this. Again, I'm not condoning it. You know, the brother definitely got some issues. He certainly has to work out. The video was, it just made him look like a madman. Because after he knocked out, he drags out of the elevator.
And just how he steps
over her,
and it's like, that's
crazy.
The part that killed me. I was like, no, but the thing is, and then people say, oh, well, y'all still, you know, there's a lot of chicks still in love with Chris Brown and da-da-da-da-da. My whole thing is there's a lot of things that people do behind closed doors. You know, when people, that's why reality TV is so amazing, I guess, because when people actually see things, for some reason, it's different from when you heard about it or you heard a little snippet about it. People don't believe you when you say, oh, I pet the cat. But if people see a video of you petting the cat, she pet the cat. Like, hello, I just told you I pet the cat. So it's like they knew they had the conference, and then all of a sudden the video is coming out, and now everyone wants to act surprised. And I'm like, what? It's so ass backwards to me. It's like... Huh? I don't know. And then with the Chris Brown thing,
do you think the NFL was harsh though?
Not only do I think they're being harsh, I think they're like really grasping for straws, because now all of a sudden the media and whoever else is lighting fire under you to do something dramatic and drastic, and now you're not even thinking anymore. You're just being dramatic and drastic. Like, come on, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
We're
going to
take away.
See,
my thing, though, also, Ms. Jones, is that when it comes, and I'm not pulling a race card, but this is factual. When it comes to black men in this society are treated so harshly.
Completely different.
So,
and they want to make an example out of him and everything. It's like, really? Like, come on. And the same person that he beat up and knocked out, she's there. So it's like, hello, I don't get it. Like, we're not saying slap him on the wrist. We're saying suspend him or whatever. Like they banned him, really.
But this is what I want to say
to
everyone listening in right now, and if I could speak to every black man out there right now that has any kind of success, have endured any kind of success in their life, and those that are on the cusp of gaining any kind of stature, any kind of success in their life, you have to understand that the odds are stacked up against you. The last thing that I'm going to just say is that some people want to see is this black man full of success and some power. Now, what I resent about a lot of my brothers is that we do a great job at sabotaging our success. Now, this didn't just happen with Ray Rice on the elevator. It doesn't just rain. It gets cloudy before it rains. So there were some obvious preludes of what was to come. Now, we have to look a little bit deeper into this, because I would say, what kind of people do Ray have around him? Now, I've been around some people that have that kind of success, and you can't tell them anything because no one has any kind of money, most of the time comparable to what they have, so they feel that no one can tell them anything. So they have a whole bunch of yes people around them and people that are in constant agreement with them. So therefore, they can't be critiqued on their actions. So God has a way of intervening and humbling each of us in some kind of way. And this is his way of being humble. He's being humble right now. It's a life lesson. Now, as a collective, and I'm talking to my black folks right now, all my next of kin out there, all my brothers and sisters, is that we have to do a better job at preparing ourselves for what's to come. And not always putting ourselves in a defensive position, you know what I'm saying, and leaning more on the offensive side of things. You know, that's a position that we kind of avoid. We don't like to be on the offense. We love to be on the defensive side of things. And it's sad. So we do a good job and a great job of sabotaging our own successes. And it's something that we gotta work with. We gotta work on. We have to.
But Al, when you say not to be on defensive, what do you mean exactly? Like, can you give an example?
We actually do things to provoke severe ramifications. But we don't have any proactive measures that we constantly practice to avoid those kind of results. For example, I'll simplify it a little bit more. You know, if you notice someone that has anger issues and anger problems and they have no constraints with their emotions, you know, and we talked about it on a previous show, there may be some mental illnesses there.
Exactly.
You know, let's seek out some professional help so that that person doesn't find themselves in a position that escalates like this. For all we know, this brother may have mental illnesses that he's fighting with. It may be something that runs in his family.
He's exposed to. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He's a gifted ball player, which has nothing to do with what he may be fighting inside. You know, and some of these fights are bigger than us. We need someone else to come in and intervene. You know, we need help. A lot of us need help. There are many times that we opt out of doing these things and not taking it as serious. That puts us in that defensive position. Instead of being in an offensive position, now if the person has mental illnesses and they're being treated for it and they're getting professional help, you're now on the offensive side of things. And that's what we need more of.
That's,
you know,
true. I mean, maybe if he was getting help for any type of anger issues, I mean, maybe people would have been like, oh, okay, they would have been more sympathetic. But
exactly.
But a lot of people
don't
think nothing wrong with them.
True.
I was about to say, ain't nothing wrong with me. Nah, I have my little, we all have our little ways about us. Like, sometimes I just be popping off, like, but I only pop off when people bother me. And people be bothering me, like, go away. Oh, stop bothering me. I'm just here for the free cookies. Let me
say. Crazy.
Oh, gosh. But I hope they, you know, like his wife said, we're going to show and prove what real love is about. Sweetheart, really, you didn't have to put all of that up. Because once again, they went for her. And they were like, poor baby. And honestly,
I mean, she's standing by her man. She's young as well, though. She's young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think anything she would have typed, I feel like if she would have said, you know, he was wrong for what he did and I shouldn't have married him, they would have been like, poor baby, you're silly. If she would have said, you know what, I'm leaving him tomorrow, poor baby, you should stay. Whichever way it goes, like, once you put yourself out there, it's like, I don't even think she should have made a statement, really and truly. I really don't. Like, he made a statement. He contacted someone, and I think it was like a text message he sent to them. He was like, oh, I'm trying to figure out how to remain strong for my wife and my child. That was it. But you decide to go put a whole big thing on Instagram.
See, but that's
Instagram.
Another
thing. Get off of social media.
That's what I'm talking about. We're having the right people around you, and someone stepping in and saying, you know what, let me just hold your hand on it, because now it's such a big issue because it becomes a PR situation. She shouldn't even be speaking in media without someone, you know, coaching her through everything, because everything is severe right now. Every little thing that she said, that she says or he says, you know what I'm saying, becomes a very, very, very big issue and can come back and help.
It's like, just chill. Like, that's the thing that I don't understand. Like, how is it that everything, and, you know, someone tried to actually say that to me. Someone was like, well, you're always putting up posts. First of all, let me, and I had to break it down for them. I could literally be watching Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil could be talking about, I don't know, cats that cough up fur balls. And then I'll put something on my Facebook page about cats coughing up fur balls. You swear to God, it's about, like, I don't understand how it is that everything you put on Facebook has to do with you. Now, granted, I have four cats, but I literally was watching something that made me put up a post. But apparently, I have to preface my post. I have to put, oh, hey, I was sitting watching Dr. Phil, and you know, it just came to me that cats cough up fur balls, and ha, ha, ha. Yeah, so I guess I have to do that with all of my posts. Get the fuck out of here. All I'm saying is, don't be on my page reading too deep into my shit. That's why I don't add everybody to my page either. I really don't. But somebody else said to me, oh, my God, I thought you were going through things with your boyfriend. What? Like what? He comes home, he eats, he goes to sleep. I mean, like, what am I going through with him? Oh, because I thought you – whatever. Stop thinking. Stop assuming. Stop wondering. Yeah, just stop. Like, really? I didn't know I was that interesting. Anywho, Al, let's get on with the topic, darling.
Yeah, so we're going to get into get your life. Stop investing in what will not garner profit in return and will only impede you from your blessings. Stop depositing energy into senseless exchanges, dead in relationships and jobs, invalid friendships and countless other variables that do not complement your life. Stop blocking your own blessings and get your life.
Yeah, isn't that how Tamar say it? Get your life, boo. I don't even know how she say it.
Get your life.
Yeah.
Like, get your life.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
You know, and that's what it is. You know what I see constantly? You know, we've all been at those familiar crossroads where we're trying to figure it out. We sitting there, and it's like, what's going on here? I seem to not be moving backwards. I'm not moving forward. I'm just kind of idling. I'm kind of stagnant without contentment. What's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You have clinged on to things that are not moving. See, and that's the thing that people don't realize is because if you hold on to something that's not moving, you're not going to move. But if you hold on to the things that are moving and that are mobile, you're going to move with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds simple, but so complex.
Sounds simple.
Actually grasp and get that concept. Yeah. Hold on to the things that are moving and let go of the things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. So I see so many people that have resorted to clinging to those things, to those variables, to the nonsense, to the dead weight,
mm-hmm.
to the things that are impeding them from reaping the blessings. And they do it out of fear of a transition.
Mm-hmm.
They do it out of being influenced by the wrong people and energy. They do it because they have chosen to talk themselves out of moving forward.
How do you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you rationalize staying stuck?
A lot of people do it because it requires less energy to just sit and accept something than it does to actually become some resistance for something that you know is not good for you. And for example, if you're in a situation, a relationship, and you've been in a relationship for X amount of years, a substantial amount of years, and you're highly motivated, you're assertive, you're a person of enthusiasm, but your counterpart is the total opposite. What begins to happen is that over a period of time without you even realizing is that these attributes and these strong characteristics that you possess become diluted and watered down. So you begin to take on your counterpart's characteristics, and this is all in your subconscious. By the time you become aware of it, it's not too late, but so much time has lapsed. You've probably gained a lot of weight. You've probably lost a lot of opportunities. You've probably become so numb to reality that any inclination of clarity in bringing these variables up front and you kind of identifying with them is probably bleak. I've been in situations like that where I found myself, you know, having to go in and reassess my own self and say, yo, I got to get it moving and shake it, you know, and you start to pull out the scissors, cut the umbilical cords and kind of the weeds, the unnecessary things that are growing, but not complementary. And all the dead weight that becomes so non-complimentary. Hold on 1 second, Ms. Jones.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. But you find yourself in these kind of situations where you're forced in one way or another to just sit in a place and just kind of reflect and say, you know, I got to do something. This is not moving. This is not shaking for me, you know. And that's reaching the point, like the great Les Brown always says, you got to, you know, in order to get a change, you got to become fed up in order to change. So you have to reach that point of being fed up and saying enough is enough. You know, I'm having such a difficult time. I'm doing a show right now. I got so much distractions going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting it through. I just had to mute real quick just to clear something out. But yeah, that's the problem. That's probably like the main problem that a lot of people run into that particular wall. You know, and getting your life, man, getting your life is just understanding that you deserve better, that you want more.
Uh-huh.
You doing whatever you can, you know what I'm saying, just to induce those changes, you know what I'm saying, and get what you deserve, you know. And
uh-huh.
It's sad, a lot of people don't want their life. They want someone else's.
They'll entertain other people wanting what other people have, but I don't know. Sometimes it's like a toss-up. It's either you having the courage and the chutzpah to to go get what you want. And I feel like for me, like, I feel like I don't want to say I'm in a rut. I just think I'm too concerned about other individuals right now. Like, you know, when you're, like, for instance, when you're in a relationship, you don't want to make a move because you actually want to move with the person. But at some point, you just got to say, fuck it, I just got to do me. No one wants to. A lot of people have do me things. Like, well, in this day and age, most people have a do me attitude, like selfish for days. When you're not that type of person, it's hard for you to get into that mold. So I think that's what's happening with me. Like, I'm trying to be a little more selfish and not give a fuck anybody. But that's my pill. That's my thing. So I think with other individuals, they rather focus on what everyone else is doing and not what they're doing. I don't really care about what other people are doing outside of me unless you're helping motivate me and push me into a certain arena. Yeah, I don't really care about what you're doing. And that's the thing. That's the thing about a lot of people. A lot of people are invested in what everyone else is doing. And I was actually going to post that one day on Facebook. I was going to say, you're so busy watering other people's gardens and checking out their roses that you ain't even see that your shit is dead and drying out. Weeds done took over and everything. You'll probably even tell your neighbor, hey, you know, I got some weed control you could use. You could, you know, some weed killer. Meanwhile, you need to pour all of that shit on your shit. But... yeah, like I said, people are real passionate about other people's stuff. That's another reason why, which is weird, you have people nowadays that refuse to take advice from other people. Because they're like, well, if you don't have your shit together, why should I take advice from you?
People don't see themselves as being flawed. They see themselves as being flawless. So, you know, all of us are under construction. We all should be moving to be better and to be greater, you know, within our person. So I just, you know, I just think that society right now, you know, everyone's perfect. You know, no one wants to work on themselves. And people are more comfortable telling you what you need to be doing instead of, you know, just yielding to that same input and getting their life. They'll tell you to get yours in a minute without getting theirs. You know, you see a lot of, you know, I'm not trying to be funny by saying it. You know, there's a lot of overweight personal trainers. There are personal trainers that are not in shape. But they're sitting there and telling people what exercises, what they need to be doing, and they're not even in shape. I don't know what part of the game is that. How did that become permissible, you know what I'm saying, and motivating other people to do something you can't do? It's crazy, but that's, you know,
hey.
Today I had put up on Facebook, I put a status up this morning where I said, you know, people will kick you when you're down, but they'll help you get up when you up.
That's true.
That probably flew over a lot of people's heads, but the thing is,
and then they'll be there like, I've been here all the time.
Yeah. You fighting to get your life. You fighting to get your life because it's a process. You're trying to get your life. You're trying to get everything together. You're trying to put everything in perspective. And then you got people actually trying to bring you, pull you all the way back. It's like climbing up a ladder, and each step you take, you got somebody knocking the steps down. You know what I'm saying? So you can't get up the ladder. So you got to use more of your arms than your legs. But you got people that make your processes that difficult. So when you get your life, everybody trying to help you. You up, everybody want to help you stay up or get up or whatever the case may be. Well, you don't even need those contributions. You need it when you're trying to get it together.
Exactly. You need people around to help you, you know, get that clarity.
Hold on 1 second, Michelle. You know. Got it. Keep talking.
No, like, you need people to help you get that clarity and, you know, get you on the right track. But I feel like nowadays people prefer to be a damn distraction. It's like, people don't know how to just stick around and be helpful, be beneficial. People just want to stick around and suck the life out of you and be dramatic and, it's like you're draining me. Go away. Go away. Don't bother me anymore. Anywho, but I mean, some people are lucky. Some people actually have folks around them that really have their best interests in at hand. And, you know, they're always motivating them. And I just think those people are rare. Very, very rare.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
No, I was saying, I think we have more detractors than we have motivators. We have more people that drive people nuts than people who actually are trying to uplift and, you know. And it's so funny, too, because I also noticed that people pick and choose who they want to uplift. Like, people really, like, if you're a motivator, motivate everyone. You know, how do
that's
you
interesting.
Who you want to
elaborate on that a little bit more? Wow, that's
some
deep.
People are some people are motivators, but they're haters too. Like I'll be in a room full of like seven people, and I'll be one of the people that's down and out, and they'll motivate five people, and I'll be one of the people they won't motivate. But you are motivated. You're supposed to motivate and uplift everybody. Why you choose? Next thing you know, I find out that, maybe my dress looked a little too pretty, or maybe they thought, I don't know, some hating factor always just step in, or something just make them not. You'll be surprised. People really know how to, I don't want to say show their ass, but it'd be real funny, like, how people pick and choose who they want to help and who they don't want to help. Oh, I remember even at my old job, like, if they would have meetings or they would, like, give out stuff, nobody would put me on. I wouldn't say nobody. There were times when I would just find out through the grapevine, oh, you know they was doing that today? Now, this is after the fact. And I'm like, why you didn't tell me? It's like, I don't know. People just be hating. Like, she doesn't need that. How do you know I don't need it? Why couldn't you put me on and let me know? And, you know, we spoke on this. This happens a lot in the black community. It's like you'll have, I know some people, they'll help, and they're black, they'll help white people before they help their own people. And it's
absolutely.
Like, but you're a motivator. You're supposed to, and then they'll give you all the excuses in the world. Nah, well, I can't help black people because black people don't want to be helped. Well, did you try to help them first off? Or I don't want to help those females because, you know, those females, they're fucked. And we don't need to be helping thoughts. How do you know their thoughts? You're not in their thought process. Oh, I just made up a word. A thought process. I'm bugging.
Yeah.
You know, like thought process. But you have a thought process.
Uh-huh.
I'm bugging, right?
Crazy.
But anyway. But I mean, it's like crazy. Like if you're helping everyone. I mean, I'm not saying you, but like if you're in a confined environment or whatever, and you have a series of individuals to help, reach out and touch everybody. But I don't know. Like I said, I think people pick and choose
because
who they want to help when they want to help.
They be that energy where it's beneficial to them.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes, that's what it is. It's like I'm not going to help you because you're not going to help me back in return. I can't help you because you're not going to help. You're not going to scratch my back or whatever. And it's like, wait a minute. You have to give to give. Like, you don't give because you want to receive. Like, what?
And it's so conditional with everything. I'm so tired of people being so conditional. And they
exactly.
really think that you can't see through all of that. It's
yes.
so ridiculous these days.
That's the thing. Yes, that's the thing that gets me. Because it's like, wait, you know I just peeped that, right? You know I just peeped all of that. And then when you call them out, they get all defensive, and it's like, no, I didn't do that. No, it wasn't. Yes, but yes, you did all of that. Nobody
just
ever pulled
here.
You out
We'll
before.
Be here until next Wednesday if I begin to unload on that. For real.
Oh, God. I just, and you know what? Because our topic is cutting, please, if you know anyone like that, please cut ties with them and really sit and think about why you even keep in ties with people like that. They will literally You know, one of my friends actually told me a story. She I think her boyfriend knows a well-known rapper or what have you, and he refuses to put him on. Now, my whole thing is, yeah, you've reached a point or an age where you're not about to get put on anymore, but at least he should be telling you. But then again, I heard this guy don't put on anybody. But how is it that you're not seeing that he doesn't put anyone on, so he's not going to put you on either?
Exactly.
It's like some people are so, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say they admire. There's something enamored. Some people are so enamored by people that they refuse to see that they're full of shit. Like, he's just a big-ass pile of hot dung. You need to just let that all go. But you know why they don't let it go? Because then they'll have to sit with the feeling of stupidity. That is the, I don't want to say that's the worst feeling, but between being feeling stupid and disappointed, those are some pretty hard pills to swallow. Because, I mean, I've had my moments where I'm like, damn, I feel like such a dick. Pardon my friends. But, it's really tough. But I will say this. Once you come out on the other side of that feeling, and you because you have to process that feeling. You have to process it in such a way that you come out on the other side, and you're able to say, okay, you know what? That may happen again. Because sometimes it happens more than once. But you have to really reflect and hope that it doesn't happen again and hope that you don't make, you know, because sometimes you got to make the same mistake one, two, three times, and then you just be like, okay, what's going on here? See, I should have cut you off way sooner. You see? Oh, you know what I was going to say? Do women have a harder time cutting off or dropping dead weight than men? Yes.
That's a good question.
I know you would have said yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. Yes. I think we do. I think women put up and keep up with the most. The most. And
I would have
know
to
why?
Agree.
Yeah.
The first thing, Ms. Jones, the first thing that comes to mind is her being in a relationship with a crumb cake. You know what I'm saying? And you know, her refusal to move on. I would have to say yes, because you know, I would think in a similar situation in comparison with a man, he'll get up and just go, and he'll go to the next woman. She'll just stay there and stay stuck. So actually, yes, I would say so. But it's just, you know, to understand, to first identify and understand that something is dead weight, I think is a challenge, because that deciphering most people don't get. You know, they really get caught up in believing that there's some purpose in that alliance. And I'm not one of those people that believe that everyone serves a purpose. You know, some people just don't. Some people just don't. You got to leave them alone. You just have to leave them alone. I think,
you know what's
people
crazy?
Say it's a lesson.
How did you come to that conclusion? Because I'm on the other end. I feel like you crossed paths with everybody for a reason.
Well, some people would say that, you get a lesson out of them. If you don't gain anything from the relationship or the friendship or whatever, you walk away with a lesson. But they still didn't serve the purpose, any kind of purpose. Is it really a lesson if you went through the same experience before with someone else? I think a lesson is new, something that hasn't been experienced before. You know, some people are connected to a whole bunch of people that absolutely make no sense and don't contribute anything.
I'm gonna step in with this. There was something. People feel that their life is meaningful when they're connected to other individuals. Now, I say people. I ain't say some people. I say people, period. Because I feel like you have people that, even loners, I think you have some people that are loners, but even though they're loners because they made a decision to become a loner. They was once connected to somebody, even if it's their mother or their father. I feel like people feel like once they're connected to someone, and what's happening nowadays, I think people are becoming connected to pets more. Because this lady, the other day I saw, she was like, you know, these dogs are just better than some of these humans I know. And I just looked at her. I was like, okay. I mean, Like, I love my dogs and everything, but animals is animals and humans are humans. And me personally, I feel like I don't.
Some animals are pain as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Some animals could be a pain in the ass as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the same way a human would.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Again, I just don't think that everyone serves a purpose in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, it's 50-50. You
mm-hmm.
you get 100 people, you know, 50% may not
mm-hmm.
serve a purpose at all, and the other 50% will. You know, it's just
okay,
a lot
so,
of...
So how-
Dead
how do you decipher when they're not purposeful? Because, for instance, if I come across a dude that serves no purpose, but I'm just like head over heels, you can't tell me nothing. I think the stars that brought him into my life, that penis is everything. How you going to tell me there's no purpose there? You got to be kidding me. The purpose is in his pants, damn it. I'm just saying. What you trying to tell me?
Here you go.
I'm being realistic. Because sometimes that's all it comes down to. You have dudes that, you know, same way. Yeah, her purpose is right in between her legs. That's her purpose. Yeah. So she don't stick around for many years. And that's what some married men do. They have their mistresses around for many years. She ain't going nowhere. Because that cootie cat is mine.
No, but
that's
it might be what's attached to the vajayjay that's keeping them there. I mean, that's an added
mm-hmm.
incentive, but
mm-hmm.
she may be the ear, the voice of reason that provides him with the extra steam he needs, the oomph. Just so happened that she got the vajayjay attached to it. So I don't think that that's the only thing.
But see, what I just did is I told you that that's the only thing. I'm telling you that's the only thing. Because some people, they feel like some people break down what a person's purpose is to them. So it's like I can tell you their purpose is to just be in my life, and you'll be like, well, what do you mean? What are they giving to you? Themselves, really? Like, some people don't even know why they have people around them. Or some people don't really just want to tell you, yeah, I'm just fucking their brains out.
Know why they, but some people don't even understand why they need people around them. How about that?
Wow, what?
You don't understand why they have people and why they should have people around them and what purpose they should serve. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I see a lot
true.
Of people that are very... Let me, you know, I had these conversations this week with some people, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're not conditioned to deal with quality, let's say, for example, you've never dealt with any quality people in your life. So if you
mm-hmm.
come across some quality people, you're going to treat them like mm-hmm. doo-doo because that's all you've been subjected to. And that's the only experience that you have is with dealing with the doo-doo people. So a lot of people, they'll treat everyone the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have an experience, that's something that's new. That's something that's new. It's quality. It's different. But they've never experienced it. They don't know how to treat it.
Wait. Ooh. Say that again, Al. That's repeat worthy. Say it again.
They've
not the whole thing, but you know.
Yes. They've never experienced qualities, so they don't know how to treat it when they come across it.
Oh.
They just don't
see,
mind. They
problem.
Just don't know. Yeah, they just don't know.
That's my thing. That's why people tell me, oh, you're too nice. What the fuck you mean I'm too nice? I'm not even doing anything. I just said hi to the nigga. Well, your hi was too nice. What? You was flirting. What?
But let me give you the other side of the pendulum of that, Ms. Jones.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have people that have only been subjected to quality. So they don't know how to, they can't relate and they can't get jiggy with the doodle. But then they get the doodle people and treat them as if they're quality.
Exactly.
You're edifying someone
that's not worthy of that edification. What does that do? Come on. That's like giving someone that don't know how to drive
your BMW. Yeah.
Come on. They've never
Al, what is that? Because see, some would write that off as being plain stupid, but there's something else there that makes a person do that. There's something else there that makes a person pick up, I don't want to say a bum nigga, but a bum nigga off the street. Well, not off the street, but, you know, yeah, off the street. And, you know, and say, you know what, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to feed him. I'm going to cook for him. I'm going to rub his feet. I'm going to fuck him till the day is long. And he's not contributing anything, but yet you're just keeping him around.
See,
why?
But, you know, on the surface, we would just say that shit is stupidity. But that person is just being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're being themselves, and they're actually exerting this dopeness, you know, you know what I'm saying, that they're someone that's not worthy of it.
Mm.
And a lot of women, unfortunately, a lot of women do that. And a lot of men get those fringe benefits of a quality woman without even being worthy. It's sad, really sad, because a lot of men,
I've actually been there. But you know what? I can honestly say it's been various reasons. Some were shallow reasons, but I'm okay to admit it. Okay, so you have the shallow reasons, then you have the, it's just a tad bored reason. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we're not all perfect, but the thing is to try to get to as close as perfect as possible. Yes, yes.
It's interesting. It's totally interesting, you know, just with people, because I see so many people that are actually comfortable going through the pain instead of going through the blessing. So they'll do anything that sort of is destructive toward their own well-being and their own betterment.
Mm-hmm.
Not to actually compliment them and put them in a better space, they kind of avoid or shun.
It's crazy.
I don't think that any of us should deposit, make any kind of deposits without garnering a profit. You know, I don't think we should be giving anything if we're not getting it in return. So reciprocity is just like a total lack of.
But Al, how do you pick up in, what's the word I'm looking for? How do you like when you're at a certain age? It's like, you know, that's why I admire some people that have this tenacity to like cut people off. I really like that. But sometimes I think you have people that cut people off, but yet they're cutting the wrong folks off, and they're so focused on just hustling and, you know, and that they don't even really cultivate meaningful relationships. But what's happening nowadays is it's like you can't cultivate meaningful relationships because you have nothing to cultivate it from, because a lot of people are just full of shit. So it's like, I ain't trying to go in that garden and grab up a few people, because I'm going to grab up a handful of shit.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm serious, Al. That's why we live in the era of no new friends. It ain't nothing. Cut that bitch off. You're a thot. You're a bum nigga. Poof, be gone. If it ain't about money, it's funny. And it's like no one, but yet, people want to be in love. People want to be connected. It's just crazy. Like, what is it that's, what's wrong? Like, it's just something inherently wrong. And it's like, I'm drained. I feel like just going to an island and just being not by myself. I know, like, a handful of people I take with me. Let's go.
Or go to the jungle and live around the animals.
What? I said I want people with me. I'm not trying to be like Tom Hanks and Castaway with Wilson. Come on, stop playing.
Be around the animals. That's what I'm eventually doing. I'm going to move to the jungle and just be around the animals.
Al said he going to move to the jungle. All right, Tarzan.
Yeah, you're my Tarzan.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus. You think if you don't think in terms of society and interpersonal relationships, it's not getting better. I don't think it's getting better.
No.
Do you think it's getting better? It's not, right? We have seen consecutively how men are treating women. I'm constantly seeing how women are treating each other, and it's like, as a matter of fact, yesterday I was like, Jocelyn, don't play, because you know my little ratchet TV, and it's crazy because it's like, I don't know. It's like it's entertaining, but at the same time, it's so bad. Like, why can't she get, not to say why can't she get along with them, why can't they get along with her? Why are they so pressed to always say some dumb shit to her? Like, why is it that people always want to attack her for being a stripper? I know a lot of strippers. They're really cool chicks. Leave the stripper girls alone. They're awesome. Hey, I endorse the strippers. Let me stop. But it's like, so what? Jocelyn was a stripper. Like, so what? Like, she's pretty.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Let me not advocate Jocelyn. I might meet her one day and be like, damn, Joc, I used to like, you know, I used to, yeah. She probably flip on me. You know, I said that about Oprah too. I was like, I might meet Oprah one day and she might be the meanest witch ever, and I'd be like, I'd be so heartbroken. Oprah, do you hear me? No, I'm just saying. But I don't know. I still have a hope and faith though. Like I'm teeter tottering, and I don't like teeter tottering. I feel like there are still good people out there, but my faith is like waning because I feel like some people just have issues. Like seriously. Like, you can't give people an inch. You literally can't say, hey, how's your day, without someone thinking you're in love with them. Al, what was that, Al?
No, that was my computer. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm like, what was that? I'm like, you were too much. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know me. I'm friendly. I'm a people person. But I feel like nowadays, oh, hell no. I can't say hi. I can't. People be like, they love me. Like, you just met me. How do you love me? How do you love me? What? You're meant for me.
I take it
out.
Men will tell women anything. Turn them pink.
Why? Nowadays, you don't have to tell women anything, and you can still get the kitty.
True. Well, some of them haven't figured that part out yet.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, Al, how do we start plucking people out of our lives? What do? We run up on them and be like, get the fuck out. What do we do? Oh, God. You know I'm a hot mess. Stop it. Nah, this is the worst. What do we do, Al?
Yo, we just got to cut them. First, and I always say, though, Ms. Jones, we got to make the identification.
Mm-hmm.
To identify with who needs to go and why. People just been sitting there and loitering in your life. They got to go. Gotta go. You're not growing with people around you. That applies to friends, man, relationships. You gotta go, man. You only get one burn at this, one life at this. You don't get a reset button. It is what it is. Once you go into the next day, you can't go back. It's gone. It's gone.
Mm.
You gotta do what you gotta do. But you gotta identify with what's not complimentary. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, even using myself as an example, I know for myself, a couple years back, I started looking at everybody, and I'm still doing it. I'm looking at everybody and everything differently.
Yeah.
You can't keep up. You got to go. You got to go. It's as simple as that. You know, we have these pseudo networks and friendships and associations and alliances, whatever you want to call them, and 95% of them are not valid.
Yeah.
It's just not valid. You know, I heard 50 say one day, he said, yo, if you're talking to people all day and they cannot help you, you don't need to be talking to them.
Yeah.
There's something along those lines, but I kind of put my own spin on that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say it like that, but that's my version of saying it. But it's true. You know, we divert so much energy into the wrong people. And you said something a couple of minutes back. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are quick to cut all the right people off and keep all the wrong people. I see a lot of that. People are master snippers, but they give in all the good people and they keep all the duty.
Yeah.
And they hold on to it.
What's that? Well, I know what that's about. That's just about not having a clear head and being paranoid and thinking everyone's out to get you. And it's also like that person isn't dick riding you the way you want them to. Because me, when I feel, how can I put it? Like, I think I'm not a fluffer. I'm not a fluffer. Like, I know people that fluff. They're like, oh, my God, your hair's so this and this is so that. And it's just like they fluff. And they throw all, oh, my God, you're so great, and da-da-da-da. It's like I can't fluff because really and truly, if your hair don't look right, I'm not going to say nothing. And if you're not doing anything of, you know, like, I'm not going to say nothing. So and they take it really personally because, unfortunately, what happens nowadays is people are just fluffing for no reason. Yo, you're not funny. No, he's really not. What the – are you kidding me? What?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just don't have a sense of humor. No, he's really not funny. That wasn't even
a lot of that.
And exactly, because we see nowadays people laugh at any fucking thing, and it's like, wait a minute, he just kicked the baby off the bed. How is that funny?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, but did you see how the baby fell? Yeah, I saw how the baby fell. The baby got kicked. It's not funny. Nah, you too serious, man. You don't have a sense of humor. this is what I have to deal with. I know people that do, they say crazy shit to me, and when I'm like, that's not funny, they'd be like, yo, you can't take a joke. That wasn't a joke. That was actually pretty odd and disrespectful. It's just like, for you to even think it was a joke.
That's a dope quote. Sometimes moving forward means someone needs to move out.
And yeah, so, that's what I was looking for. I was just looking for that. I posted it on my wall, and I was like, uh-oh, back. Yeah, and you know, because you know my situation now, so it's like, oh, boy, I felt like tagging someone in it, but I don't want social media to do my dirty work. But maybe they'll see it.
Gospel right there.
Ow. Word. I need to put that. I don't need social media to do my dirty work. Funny. I have enough cojones. Okay? Okay, Tony? Let me stop. I'm bugging right now. I think it's the heat. Oh, God. I'm too much right now. I slay myself. Yeah, so, I mean, I've been doing that for, I just feel like the process isn't going as fast as I want it to be. But what I also realized, because remember I told you when I was in Jamaica, it was like reflecting. I also was able to realize that sometimes me, personally, I just have to be a bit more patient because I try to force things, and little do I know that everything happens in its time. So I may want to force someone out of my life right now at this present moment, but for some reason, they find a way to stick around, stay around, tell me more, do more. But when it's the right time for them to just drop off, they just drop off. It's either, and it's like, wow. So sometimes, you know, sometimes you really want to uproot people and or yourself, but sometimes you just got to chill. That's the weird thing, because you don't know who you need to cut out right away and who you need to just keep around just for, like, not even say who you need to keep around. Sometimes the universe and or God or whoever you believe in is keeping them around for a specific reason and time. So that's another thing I'm dealing with, because I feel like, you know, in my own personal
life. Let me tell you something, Jones, with that. Mm-hmm. I believe that we all are entitled to one good ass ripping a lifetime. There's going to be that one person that really rips us a new asshole. Through an experience and being with them, we're going to learn a whole bunch of things. I think we get one of those, like,
yes,
firm belief.
Yeah,
of
and
it.
You, yes, you were, yes.
It's just that one person. We all get
that
one.
Yes, that give you that ass whooping, bring you to your knees, and when you come back out of it, you're like, really? Why? I'm telling you, they give you such an ass whooping that you literally have to find them and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you for that. Because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be the me that I am today. Hey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's real serious. I love that right there. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean, we're all entitled to one.
Yeah.
We get that one that just gives it to us. Give it to us.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm-mm. Oh boy! So, what were some of your bullet points?
I had dead weight. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had debt down here and financial burden.
Mm-hmm.
Family issues. We talked about situations.
Oh, yes. Can we wait? You said family issues.
Yeah, family issues.
Family issues, like what? Because, you know, once again, because, you know, my brother and my father was in Jamaica, and I feel like it's just some things that men, oh, boy. I just feel like, because you know me.
I think that because we have family. I think we kind of feel a sense of obligation to deal with family.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is that, you know, if someone is not good for you, they're not good for you. Uh-huh. Family or not. You got to cut the umbilical cord and create some distance.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to family, we kind of just, you know, stay embellished in that situation because they're family. We feel we have to deal with them.
Uh-huh.
No, we don't. And that may sound very harsh, but family or not, you know, if they're not good for you and they're not complimenting you, you got to create some distance.
Okay, so my thing is, how am I trying to phrase this? Basically, I don't want to say are you obligated. That's not, are you obligated to tell people why you're cutting them off, especially family members? That's it. That's all I want to say.
Why not? You know, as adults and, you know, in our conveniences and say, look, this is what it is. You know, you're not on the same frequency as me. You've done this, you've done that, you've done that. I got to fall back. People don't do it. People don't do it these days. They just cut you right off.
Exactly, and that's the thing I don't understand, because, like, and I kind of want to get like that. Like, I kind of want to just say, you know what, I'm out. But see, once I actually decide to be the one to do that, that's when I get the calls and the you know. But nowadays, you could just block people. But you know, that's, you see, when with technology is bringing out people's stalkerish side. CBS actually has a show that's about to air in October called Stalker. It's like, you want to block me, you want to ignore me, you want to take me off of social media, I'm showing up at your house, your job, I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, I'm going to be wherever you at, thinking you could block me and take me off of this. And so that's why I'm like, me personally, I'm not a blocking type of person, because if you come to my house or if you follow me, yo, and I know a few dudes that they think, look, niggas is crazy. People are gone. And it's all because of social media and technology. They losing their marbles. You don't think so?
No, I'm with you.
So it's like they want closure. And
mm-hmm.
It's like people aren't giving them closure. So I don't know. So if you don't give them closure, they definitely gonna lose it. And you just might be the one they pop off on and stab in your sleep and all type of craziness. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to stay away from local people. And I have time for it.
I mean, the bottom line is just ridding yourself of the things that is just not complimenting you. If you can't get jiggy with it, you can't, you know, it has nothing to do with your growth. You know, you just got to fall back. And I just think that it simply says the way I just put it, but it is what it is, you know. And once you start getting a little bit more mature in your life, and as a parent, you got children, as an adult without children, you're living responsible, you're doing what you got to do, you have less time for the things that don't compliment you, you know. You just got to leave it alone. You know, I sometimes look at a lot of people that are celebrating so much, you know, that's not even worthy of being celebrated. What are you doing all day with your time? What are you doing? The hell are you doing? Got so much time on their hands for so many things that, you know, it's foolish. It's foolish nonsense. I'm at a point in my life, man. I mean, if you're trying to deflect from my purpose and what I'm trying to get accomplished, I'm done. I'm done. I'm keeping it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. I'm just done. I don't have no energy. It's just no country for me. I'm done.
You said it's no country for you?
Yeah.
It's no crunchy. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I just put a twist to it.
Oh, jeez, it's no crunchy.
Put my little twist in there.
Oh, gosh.
I put my little twist in there.
You know, honestly, and it's so interesting because when I saw this topic, I really was like, that's why the first thing I put is like, because that's how I've been feeling. It's like, it feels like you're, it's like, okay, you're procrastinating because you don't want to cut people off. You actually admire certain things about them, or there's certain things that, you know, they do that's hilarious. But when you really look at the bigger picture, that's when it hits you. And it's pretty disappointing that this person is an absolute, you know, a hindrance. They're a hindrance. They're just there taking up space. And it's like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to go through this and cutting you off? And, oh, my gosh, what if I cut you off? Then how am I going to feel after you're gone? And, oh, my God, it's really draining. So I think that's another reason why people keep a lot of folks around. Shit, some people wish they could drop off their damn kids. This little motherfucker get on my nerves. Oh, what the fuck? I pushed you out? Oh, my God, really? No, I'm just playing. I'm just kidding. No, actually, I'm not. I know there's a lot of mothers out there that be wanting to say that. Like, ooh, you remind me of your father. Oh. I wish I could take you back to that nigga. But I don't know where he is. Let me stop. I'm bugging right now. I'm bugging out. No, but there's a lot of people.
It's 9:20, so I'm going to wrap this up at 9:30 because I gotta make a run.
Oh, cool, okay. Yeah, so I think a lot of people are just dealing with people and situations that they really wish they could get rid of, but I just don't think they have the heart to do it, or they don't know how to go about doing it, you know, hopefully. Because, you know, a lot of people don't like
to
be
alone. But and I'm just going to use myself as an example. You know, I think I'm a quality person. I think I'm someone that can definitely contribute in the lives of the people that bring me into their lives. And I've had people just straight dead me without even looking back.
Yeah, you're right. Same here.
And they feel Al King, you know, serves no purpose in their world, you know. And it has left me baffled, and I'm like, really? But the other side of me, I also understand is that people will hold on to all of the deflectors and the detractors and all the doodle in their life, and they'll get rid of all the good people in a heartbeat. You know, let's get some call in lines are filling up. Let me just get a call in real quick, Ms. Jones.
Oh, wow.
Like that, so 347-820.
What's going on, my brother?
What it is, good brother?
Oh, just wanted to send you some love, man, and tell you you're doing a great thing, man. All right? Congratulations with that book.
Thank you, good brother.
Brother,
you hear me?
I'm listening.
Yeah, I appreciate it, good brother. You know, I'm just pushing forward, just trying to light this fire.
All you can do.
It just keep doing it and keep doing it. That's it. You know, and just be a poke master. As long as I can raise some eyelids and get some people to pay attention. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my gratification from, where I can just bring a difference. That's it.
Well, you get good? Back to doing what you do, man. Definitely, man. Just wanted to send you a big shout out, man. Proud of
all
what
right,
you're
baby.
Doing, man. Doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I always receive that love. You know, I gotta keep it pushing. I gotta keep it pushing.
Exactly.
You know. And I tell you. But you know what, Ms. Jones though? But you know what? Just back on what we were just last talking about, you know, and I really believe that is that people, it's a deciphering issue. People are so caught up in the wrong thing. And we can't make a distinction between blue and red, right and wrong, right and left, up and down. Everything is so backwards now. You know, a man will have a good woman and get rid of her and go get him a bad one. A woman will have a good man, get rid of him and go get a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're attracted to these imbalances. It's just crazy how humans gravitate to all the things that are just not good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just crazy. It's just craziness. You see it over and over. You know what I'm saying? And it's just constant behavior, man. It's just so crazy, I tell you.
And that's the thing, when everything is so crazy and so, you know, what's the word, disproportionate, and just it's just like a hodgepodge of everything, how do people, you know, get to a point where they can see clearly, you know? So that's why me personally, I feel like if you have to escape or cut people away or just find some time to yourself just to just get stuff sorted out, you have to do that. Because once it becomes too much, you know, it's too much. Look at this girl, Simone Battle, that killed herself. Robin Williams, he killed himself. It's like the suicide rates are just the numbers are getting higher. People can't deal with certain things anymore. People can't deal.
I don't think you lived if you've never thought about killing yourself.
I did one time. That was when I was younger. So I haven't crossed that path again, and I don't want to.
Life is real.
I wish. Yeah.
You know, life is real.
It is.
But we got to go through something, get through something.
Exactly. And people are scared to go through things. People are scared to argue.
Scared to death to go through something.
I don't want to argue with you.
They get very frazzled and thrown off when they have to deal with reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just feel like we're just living in one big utopia. You know, nothing seems real anymore. You know, and it's just like we're so distant from this thing called reality, and we just don't want to deal with it. And it's just affecting every aspect of our exchanges, our daily exchanges.
Exactly.
You know, people are not loyal. People don't have any authenticity. People move.
People always want to fight.
They want to be violent. You know, everybody's angry for no reason. You know, somebody will want to kill somebody because they can't pay their phone bill this month, while someone just got evicted. You know, really?
If a dude can't find money for weed, he want to kill somebody. You kidding me? If he can't smoke for the day or for the night, it's a problem.
It's just absolutely nuts. I mean, you know, it's absolutely nuts.
I don't know.
We're dealing with so many pseudos, you know. This is something else. But, you know, I just implore anyone that's listening, that's on the line, those that will be listening to the pre-recorded segment going forward, you know, to get your life, you got to be honest. You have to look in the mirror, the reality mirror, and see it for what it is, and make the necessary adjustments that will definitely be painful to make those changes. Changes are going to attract pain. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, is that, you know, in order to change something, it has to be broken in order to be fixed. You know, and I use myself as an example. I remember I was telling someone this the other day. I remember, you know, and I always share it throughout the show because I hope that I can inspire someone. But I remember being 350 pounds. And not being able to walk up the stairs without feeling a little winded. I didn't have one person around me that was saying, you know what, I know you're a big guy, but you might want to start coming down. And it's just sad that we can live our lives with people that kind of co-sign the flaws that we have. I don't want people around me like that no more. I need people to tell me, yo, listen, you know, you need to start moving your body, because I'm actually that person now. A lot of cool. I'm telling people, look, you know, you got to get right. You know, this is what you need to be doing. We need to inherit this lifestyle and go like this and do like this.
Yeah.
But let me bring a call in real quick. I don't want them to think I'm ignoring them. Another call in, 646-229.
How you doing, good brother?
Good brother. What's going on?
Yeah, same old, my brother. I'm just listening in on this deep topic right now. I just, you know, just wanted to elaborate on one thing you were saying. I basically think it's no more originality. So
absolutely.
As far as people, you know, finding themselves and things like that, everything is a smoke and mirror, so everybody wants to copy what the next person do. This era is full of, they listen to the music, so the music say, well, I just caught a body about a week ago. They really go out and do it.
Yeah.
The person in front of them did it. You know, so these are things that is no more originality. So, you know, knowing good brothers like you and people like you, is like, it's hard for you to maybe get through to certain people because they looking at you like, oh, he's stupid, when you really got the knowledge to really, like, help their mind expand.
Totally right, good brother. You told me, right?
It's
true. You know what? And it's so crazy because they will, make that judgment call on me and say, yo, Alex, stupid. I don't want to hear this. But they're listening to Bobby Shmurda. And they'll take his words, you know what I'm saying, in total vein and absorb everything that he's saying. You know, I just can't do it. You know, when you come to the table now in these days with a level of consciousness and some understanding and a high level of clarity of what's going on, you're then ostracized. People run away from you. You're not attractive.
Yeah, because you're so
can't
clear.
Get with
because
you.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're so clear, you can see through their bullshit, and you can see if they're trying to, you know, persuade you to do shit that just doesn't fit with your lifestyle. You know what I mean? So it's like, of course, they don't want you to be clear and no. I need you to be a sheep like all these other folks over here. You know, and that's the crazy part.
You know, good brother, you said a good thing, though. You know, it's a lot of copy. There's no innovation. You know, in innovation, what we used to have is just people feeling comfortable enough to go in the opposite direction of the masses. So people play it safe now. They cookie cut. You do something, they come behind you and do it. Whatever works for you, it's going to work for me. That's the mindset, the ideology of people today.
Yeah.
Me, I like to go against the grain. You know, I'd rather not be popular. I see a lot of meatballs that are popular. I don't want to be popular. I want to be effective.
Different. Exactly.
I see.
Total different.
Exactly. You know it is.
I don't care if we do this show, and we've been doing this show now almost 3 years. I don't care if we do this show one night and we only got one person on the line.
It's still getting done. Yes, exactly.
You know, we're still going to talk like we got thousands of people on the line.
Exactly.
We're still going to do it, and that's what's needed. And that's why, you know, and I always say, you know, my sister, she probably listening, I always say it's about being effectively annoying. They got to see you no matter what, you know what I'm saying, and get annoyed by your effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Real talk. And that's what it comes down to.
Another thing I learned, though, just from, you know, surrounding myself with people who's like-minded individuals, like, you know, in the leadership world, when you start becoming a bigger leader, you start, people who don't want to absorb that knowledge, you let them go ahead and burn because they're going to notice that other people's following, and they're going to come along after a while. You just got to give them their time.
That's very true. Because it's like sometimes you do send people on their way. I mean, that's what I'm like. Sometimes you really have to just let them know. You know, right now, maybe never. But I mean, it's probably gonna sound harsh. You know, when you're saying that you're just not fitting into what I have going on. I mean, white people do it all the time, so I don't understand why you. Black people can't just be like, look, you're not fitting into my my ulterior plan. you know, so we're going to have to cut ties. Bye now. But people ain't trying to hear that. What? You trying to cut me off? Whatever.
You just got to let them be, because that's what I've done. I don't chase people. I don't fly any questions to them. I let them be. And a lot of them are coming in full circle. You just got to let people be and let them find their way. And eventually they'll find it, because everybody want to be in the light. I don't care how dark it is. Eventually you want to be in the light. That's inevitable. So that's going to happen. And, you know, you just have to let people be, and that's it. And just watch it unravel and watch it unfold. You know. When you said that, I thought about a couple of people I spoke to recently that are fighting some spiritual wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these crossroads and they're trying to figure it out. And I've emphasized to them that you're being forced to think different, to see different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't fight it. Let it be.
Yeah.
Just let it be.
Yeah. It's not an easy process, but you have to allow yourself to go through it. And, I mean, that's why I'm thankful for this show and this platform, because it's like, through each show, I have my little moments of awakenings and what's the word I'm looking for? My aha moments.
Epiphany.
As exactly, epiphanies. And it's like, wow, you know, yeah, okay, you know, so everything, you know, the universe and, like I said, God has a way of speaking to you. You just got to want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You just
gotta
want to listen.
And even me, I mean, the thing is, the beautiful thing about life is that sometimes you don't want to listen, and God forced certain things on you to get your undivided mm-hmm. attention. So he'll begin
exactly.
to strip things, you know, that you necessarily believe you need just to mm-hmm. get your undivided attention.
Yeah.
Take your car away from you.
Yeah, hurry.
Break your leg.
Oh, boy.
Have you sit in the house for 3 months? Healing won't kill you, but he'll put you in a position where you'll just have to be immobilized.
Sit. Yep.
You got to sit still.
Exactly.
And just to kind of discipline you and get you to a position through that level of humility where you become obedient. Because, you know, once people go through something, they start calling on God. I don't care who they are.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as they go through something, they calling on God. But when everything is all right, they ain't calling on him.
Not
and
a
peep. Still listening. Yeah, he's still listening. As soon as they're at the pen, they calling on God. They want to pray.
Mm.
I don't deserve this. I need better. But you got to become obedient.
Mm-hmm.
To become obedient, man, we gotta be immobilized. We gotta be stripped. And broken down into a couple
that's
pieces.
True.
And that's how it happened. You know, I'm a living testimony of that because I went through some things in the past couple of years. You know, I was going through, you know, I had some blessings in my life, and I look back in retrospect, I didn't appreciate
mm-hmm.
those things. And when those things were taken from me, it forced me to sit in a space and reflect and sit still. But it takes a lot of spiritual and emotional maturity to get to a space to understand what transpired, why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there and say, wow, I get it now. And I don't care who you are. And I'm saying, once you go through something, you won't have to sit in a space and sit still to get through it.
Hmm.
Can't be running around and be everywhere and think that you're going to be going through something. You're still running around like you're crazy with a chicken without a head and think you actually going to get through it. It don't work like that.
And trust you me, it's when it hits, and there's no stopping it.
Yeah. I get a lot of those phone calls, Ms. Jones. You know that. I get a lot of those phone calls. People call me and they going through something, and I tell them in so many words, good, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for you because they don't realize that the pain is a blessing. You don't have to be here. I say, you know, it's good. Good. You're going through something. This is actually going to refine you.
Yes.
It's wise enough to accept it and embrace the processes that you're actually going through. It's going to make you a better person. If you're still
here,
it's a blessing.
Yeah. You don't really want to focus on the why me as much as
totally. Because
you know that's what happens. It's like you get so caught up in the why me, why am I going through this, when you don't really realize that it's,
why not?
This is life, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Why not? I mean, why not?
I also feel like this is my last thing, and I'm going to let y'all finish that topic. Sometimes we go through things and it don't be as bad as what we think we're actually going through because somebody else is always, their situation is always a little bit crazier. And
mm-hmm.
you can only look at their situation and say, damn, I couldn't be in their situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that should give you enough strength to understand that you should be able to make it through yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? But you know what? But hey, you know what's crazy about that? But you know what? It's so simple, but that's a hard reality for a lot of people to get, because so many humans are so engulfed in what they have to do, and they become so self-centered in their own situations that they can't even see outside of their situation and say, yo, you know, I'm not the only one on the planet. I know somebody else is worse off. Like I had said earlier in the show, you know, you couldn't pay your cell phone bill this month, but somebody got evicted. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got killed. Somebody's family got to deal with the ramifications of their death. But you worrying about your cell phone bill? Really? You don't have enough money for the iPhone 6? You mad because you're $300 short? But somebody's house just got burnt down? Somebody's house just got foreclosed on? Come on. Somebody just
that's
lost
true.
Their parents? And that's you know, I just think that we just got to just become more spiritually grounded and get more common sense, you know, with everything. And, you know, I just feel that, you know, we lost all of that, you know, in humanity. We no longer have that connection, man, to what's going on and what matters. There's no more practical senses, you know. Everything is so fluffed out, you know. Even when you look at social media, everybody's life is good. Everything is good on social media. Everybody is good. Everybody's eating. Everybody's living. Everybody's in a perfect relationship. Everybody's getting money. Everybody got 5 cars and 5 houses. The kids are prodigies. Everything's perfect. And then if you exert some kind of transparency, you know, these days, it's like, oh, my God, the people that are actually real and show some transparency look fake.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
It's crazy.
And it's, you know what, to me, like, for me being the type of person I am, I feel like, the more laid back I am as a female, like, for instance, for me, what I do is, like, when I dress and I'm out, it's like people have an expectation of me. Like, I'm supposed to be crazy, wild, like, mad, boisterous. I'm supposed to just be so much, like, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to be like Jocelyn or Carly Red. I don't know, some character. But when they realize that I'm just mad, chill, and cool, and calm, that's not what they want, because they need me as a black female to be hype. I need to be twerking every 5 seconds, or I need to be doing something that fits that stereotype, that mold. And especially when they hear that I have some type of sense, because I guess I look like I'm supposed to be a dingbat.
No, they want you to be. They want you to be unpleasant, Ms. Young.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Unpleasant.
I'm really.
You know, the general stigma is that we have against one another is crazy, because, you know, even being a black man, I come across black women that are naturally unpleasant and angry.
Yeah. And that's why I said,
I would be walking down the street and salute a woman and she'll swear to God that I'm trying to attack her. She can't receive that salutation. You know,
and that's, and it's funny because I go through the opposite. Like, if I say hi, I'm flirting. I want to fuck you. But I'm just saying hi, hello, how are you today, you know? It's crazy. It's so crazy that you say that. Wow. You can't live. Can we live?
It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's the reality. That's the reality that we live in. You know, that's the stage that has been set. And it's just, you know, it's just important that we just kind of calm back these pseudo-realities and just, keep open and just be, you know, continue to be transparent with what we're doing out there. You know, I'm telling you, you can't do nothing now. Your breath can't stink. You know, you can't fart. You know what I'm saying? You can't do anything that a human would do that would make you look imperfect.
Exactly.
Everybody's perfect.
Yeah, your toes got to be on point. Your hair better be long. If you got a weave, your weave better not be packaged. It better be bundled. You can't buy nothing from Forever 21. You can't get nothing from Joyce Leslie at a $10 store rainbow. What?
Look at me. I'm typing one day. I'm typing fast on AA. I'm typing fast one day on Facebook. I post something on Ms. Jones' thread. I spelled lit wrong. She corrects me with the LLL. I put LENT instead of LINT for lint. I'm typing fast on my phone. She corrects me. If this was 10 years ago, it would have flew. You can't make any mistakes these days. Everyone, you know what I'm saying?
Everyone is perfect. Wait, no. Let me tell you something. I don't know. I really think I need, it's not even about typos anymore. Something's seriously going on. Like, dead ass, I was texting something, right, and I put, I'm here. But I wrote here, like, hear you. And a few weeks ago, I was like, meet me here. And I put meet. Today on Facebook, this dude put, can I borrow money? He put BARROW. No, people are seriously, like, changing up words, like, seriously. Like, it's crazy. I don't know
taking
what
the,
it is.
Taking the Ebonics to another level.
No, I don't think they're doing it on purpose. I think because we're not writing anymore, something is seriously happening. Like, I don't know if we're forgetting. I don't know. Because my auto spell check in my phone, if I put hello, it puts on my way. Wait, on my way and hello are two different words. It's like, what are you doing? So the autocorrect is even doing some old crazy shit. Like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, people
but
be typing, I love you.
It's intentional what people are doing, because I see some words that are crazy. The way people talk is how they're actually writing out the words, the way they speak.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you put up a word that's crazy, Al, you know I know it was because you're a writer. Come on. Like, I'm – but I know there are some people, like you said, they really do. Like, if you had to – if a lot of people had to do, like, some Regents or SATs, a lot of people would be back in high school all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm not laughing, but I'm laughing. So, wait a minute. Did we talk about that? I didn't know Floyd Mayweather. He can't read?
I mean, I saw some things, but that kind of, he seemed kind of challenged in it. He may read on a sixth grade reading level, but he's not special. I mean, some people, they felt like, you know, he's a multimillionaire. Look how much money he's worth. Who cares if he knows how to read? No, I do. Because there are kids that are looking up to Floyd Mayweather. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I mean, do we have to raise the bar that low? Do we have to raise the bar that low?
Because there are kids that are looking at this
multimillionaire and say, well, he did it. Well, Floyd doesn't know how to read that low, so I don't have to read.
I have to go to school.
You're not
Floyd.
Doesn't mean that you're going to be a Floyd. I mean, what kind of message are you sending? I saw some idiots on social media kind of making that kind of defense, that kind of claim. Spoke about this already. Remember we touched on
that? Yeah. That's what I was like, we did. Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, our folks are good at lowering the bar. We love to lower the bar instead of raising it.
And it's like, exactly, it's like we live in a time and an era where we can't be lowering the bar. Because the lower we make it, the more we look like the assholes. Because it's like, we already the laughing stock. Like, can we not be the laughing stock anymore? Are y'all not tired of being laughed at? We got every other race laughing at us. I mean, the only time they want to be is if they want big asses or something. But other than that, nah, y'all can keep all of that other shit. Or y'all violence against each other. Or y'all obesity and diabetes. Y'all can keep all of that.
Nah, we got to get our life. We got to move. I mean, we got to get our life. We got to move forward, man. We got to do the things that's going to actually contribute, you know what I'm saying, to our progress and not our demise. That's the thing. you know. And I'm trying to push forward and push forward and be a template man for the solution and not the problem. Because there's just so much of the nonsense that goes on. And like my good brother said, you know, there's no innovation. You know what I'm saying? People are just copying what they see somebody else do.
And I don't understand.
Someone else don't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah. Like, why
We all have these tailored tasks. I don't know why people think they could get in somebody else's lane and do exactly what they did. It don't work like that.
Exactly.
Everybody's lane is cut out for you.
Exactly.
That's your own footprint.
Your road is not going to be the same as my road. I don't know why people are infatuated with being other people anyway. Like, I mean, well, we already know a lot of people not happy with being themselves. So, I mean, I just have little things about me that I want to change, but I don't want to be anyone else. No, I'm good. Because even if you was to come ask me today, do I want to be Oprah, I'd be like, no. Because I don't think I'm going to be too keen on paparazzi following me around. And even if you wanted to give me Oprah money, I'd probably be like, no. You could give me a million of it, but no, because you know with money come problems. So I'm good. Shoot, if I was meant to be rich on them levels, then I was meant to be rich. Not everything's for everybody. Riches and wealth and stardom, sometimes all of that you chasing is not for you. That's why I was like, yeah, I want to be married one day, but I'm not going to chase it down. Because next thing you know, I go get married and whoo, there it is. It's not for you. Boo, boo, boo.
That's another conversation. That's another beast to open up.
Yes. Procrastinating with boyfriends that's really acting like they hubbies, because you know they people. That's my hubby. That's my wifey. With no rings. Yeah. Let me stop. Oh God.
Is that hubby no. with no rings?
Yeah, you know everybody like them titles. That's my hubby. That's my boo. That's my wifey. Oh boy.
Yeah, we gonna wind it down, Ms. Jones. I'm, you know, but we almost had 10 to 10. It's funny because I wanted to cut the show short tonight, but we started getting those calls in. You know.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Drags us a little bit more.
Yeah, sometimes it just happens that way, you know?
It's been a long week, it's been a long day. But I always get this extra energy when we do this on Wednesday nights at 8.
Ah.
I just want to keep going. Plus, we haven't been on. You wasn't on last week. Then you were out. So I was holding the helm by myself. So the past 2 months have been a little up and down.
Yeah. We need to get our four, you know, up and popping. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But check it out. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but I know one thing. Always bring it. We always bring it. And I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but it's going to be a good one as always.
Oh, yes, it will be.
I want to thank everybody that called in. My good brother, he's still on the line. My brother Abe, still on the line.
Yes, thank you, callers. And thank you, listeners.
Mellow, this needs on a lay back. We missed a couple of our lawyers. So you didn't call in. I don't know where Melly at. Conversation.
And Convo. Exactly, yeah.
You know, I know Brother Thomas was supposed to check in. I thought he was going to press one. He probably was on the line, Roto. I know Nakira is probably on the line as well, listening. But we're gonna end it. We're gonna come back with it next week.
Okie dokie.
I'm burning the candle on both sides, but I'm good. I made it through.
And I just burning the candle.
It's Jones. I just hope that everyone that listened tonight found something in our dialogue and conversation this evening that can be feasible and possibly induce and alter their perspective in some kind of way. And that's what it is. That's what it's about with our weekly platform here, Let It Be Known, on our radio. And get at us, though, Ms. Jones and Al King. Get at us on Facebook. You got some topic ideas. You want us to address some things. Just hit us up on Facebook, Mr. Al King and Ms. Jones. But I'm going to invite you. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
No, I was just saying you can inbox me, even though you may not be a friend on Facebook. I'll see the message, you know, or you can inbox Al, you know, your thoughts, views, opinions. Okay. Night, night.
Good night, all. Much blessings, and be good. Get your life built, prosper, progress, and we'll be back at y'all next week. Let It Be Known Live Radio. We're out.